Less than a month ago to training camp, I'm going to put the pressure on five guys that have to be as good as we expect them to in order for the Jaguars to win. And we'll do it here today on an episode of Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Tony Wiggins, your host of Locked On Jaguars, and thank you for joining us on the Locked On Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day, well, at least for the rest of the month. It's 3 days a week. However, training camp kicks off in less than a month on July 24th, so we will be back at our normally scheduled programming schedule, if you will, of being every day. And you make us your first listen every day because we are your team every day, and we are very, very appreciative of you for that. I got to let you know that today's sponsor is BetOnline. That's right. This episode is sponsored by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered for this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. This will be my 11th training camp, maybe 13th, 11th, 12th, or 13th training camp that I'll be a credentialed member of the media. I've probably been to 20, 25 training camps since this team got started because I made it a point to go down every day. And that's when I was sort of like a temporary honorary member of the media. I would be able to get in. But for the most part, I've been going to training camps a long time. And with the exception of a few years, the expectation has always been about wishing and hoping, as opposed to, look, these are the things that we need to get done. So I think right now, with us being 27 days away from the actual training camp, 27 to 28 days out, what we're now seeing is the attitude of guys not necessarily wishing, but saying, look, this has to happen. This has to happen for these guys to be better. So what we're going to do this entire week, the next four episodes, is we're going to do a bit of a camp preview and not necessarily breaking it down like from this big micro point of view where we're looking at every single person in every single unit and trying to get through 90 guys, although we will report when things start to emerge. What I'm going to do is just hit it just plain and simple, just plain and simple English today. I'm going to focus on this. What five guys from training camp, when you start training camp, right, when the Jaguars start training, there are five people, and there's probably more than this, but there are five people that have to be better or have to be as good as we hope that they are based on whether it was a high draft pick or whether it was someone who we spent a lot of money on free agents. I say we, like I signed the check, but you guys know what I mean. I have five guys, and the list is going to maybe surprise you a little bit, mainly not because of the guys that are on the list, but there are some guys left off of this particular group that most people would put at the very top or near the top of their list of guys that have to be good. Now, a lot of that's going to be based on, like I said, where you were drafted, enthusiasm and expectation, as well as how much money you were signed up for. I'm going to tell you some guys that aren't on my top five list, like Cam Robinson. He's not on my list because I think I know what I'm going to get from Cam Robinson. And I think the Jaguars believe that if they get what they have gotten from Cam Robinson, which made them pay Cam Robinson, and there's just a natural progression that goes along with him, like maturity, and he continues to do what he does, and maybe a little bit of tweaking with some coaching, that at the very minimum, you're going to get what you've gotten from Cam Robinson over the last 2 or 3 years. Let's just say the best part of what Cam Robinson has been is what they hope he can always be and be on a consistent basis, especially if he stays healthy. So I didn't include him because we kind of know what he is, and they knew what he was when they repaid him. And they said that that's adequate enough with a reasonable amount of improvement based on age, maturity, and a little bit of tweaking in the coaching staff, plus other areas around him getting better. So we know what that is. There's some guys that we don't know. We don't know. And I'm going to run through them. And what it does is it just flat out puts the onus on those guys. Like, look, we don't stand a chance if you're not what we expect you to be or what we paid you to be. We there's no room for error if you're not good. Period, point blank, end of discussion. When I look at the team of who I think the five best players are, that's not what this is. This is who has to be good for this particular Jaguars because they trust you and they depend on you. Or you have to show an improvement of what they've seen in the past. And I think by the end of this, you guys will probably agree with me. So what I'm going to do now is, I'm not going to give it away, all of it. The first guy on my list, who in segment two I'm going to start talking about, is Trevor Lawrence. No brainer, right? No brainer. But I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on why I think it's so important that Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. And I'll tell you, by telling you that Trevor's on the list, I'll tell you who's not, and that's Christian Kirk. Why? Hang in there with me on Locked On Jaguars and in segment two. I will make sure that I explain everything about that to you. I'll do it after I tell you more about our friends at betonline.net, which is the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. If you had the Avalanche in six, good for you. You want some money if you went to betonline.net. And had you gone to betonline.net, they probably would have told you to have the Avalanche in six. No, I have been screwing this up for a while. I did not know a lot about hockey, but I tell you what, my heartstrings was pulling towards Tampa a little bit because I'm a Florida boy, but did not happen. The Avalanche have won. I believe that's now three straight for them. And you can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's NHL playoffs, which happened last night. But stick in there with Major League Baseball because those Yankees are on fire, man, and they are doing everything they can to try to at least win the regular season in Major League Baseball. But BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sport and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. And I think those three things will dominate the summer until training camp starts. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And where you start every day is here with us, making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. And we are very appreciative. Trevor Lawrence, why is he number one on my list? Well, one, because he's the quarterback. Two, bad coaching won't be an excuse this year. And I'm not saying that it was not a valid excuse last year, because obviously anyone who was around this team last year knew that the team suffered in the area of coaching staff. Not that all the individual coaches were bad, but collectively they were a dumpster fire. So, Trevor, why is Trevor so important? Because of what happened last year, I want to see if Trevor Lawrence has amnesia. I want to see if Trevor Lawrence has amnesia, the kind of amnesia that, say, a good cover corner has, whereas you can garbage in and garbage out some of the things that were positives from last year, some of the things that were negatives, and how you can turn them into positives in last year after playing for Urban Meyer. And then can he just go back and be a quarterback who can work on his mechanics, his muscle memory, the offense, learning and understanding the nuances of the NFL as opposed to just depending on his physical talent? And what it'll feel like for him to just be one of the guys and not be like the press secretary coming out speaking on behalf. He looked like Ben Crump last year, to be honest with you. Trevor Lawrence was out there talking every single time somebody screwed up. He showed up and he had to go and do whatever he had to do to make the natives feel better about the team. I just want Trevor Lawrence to be the quarterback. I want Trevor Lawrence to be a guy who is getting pushed in the coaching room, who sometimes has head-scratching days that we don't know about, that the coaches are riding, that every now and then he gives you an eye roll when the coach is talking to him, like, man, I'm so sick of this guy talking to me. Because it seems to me that's what other guys get and what other guys do. We were so happy just to have him, just to have a franchise quarterback, that And I say we, even though I wasn't one of these type of people because I warned against it the whole time. But I say we because collectively that's what we are. We are we. So we were just so happy to have Trevor. I remember people saying, just draft Trevor and get out of the way. Just draft Trevor and don't screw this up. And I tried to equate it to, and I know for a lot of people it was just shooting from the hip and tongue in cheek. The problem with that, though, is the smart people that say that don't understand that. And I'm not going to call anybody dumb, but the smart people that say that, there are football fans that there are people that hang on you every word sometime, and they actually think and realize that it may go that way. I think sometimes when they look up and they hear these podcasts and they see us on, whether it's radio or news, they do expect a modicum of sort of credibility to kind of teach them and educate them on how these things have to go. We're not just here to talk about things and report what happened. I really believe that when you have a great asset like Trevor Lawrence, you just need to be more and more responsible. You need to be more and more responsible. Trevor, as much as he seemed like a lottery ticket, no, it wasn't a lottery ticket. This was hard-earned investment and sweat equity in a negative way. Y'all earned this, Jaguars, y'all earned this. You were at the bottom of the coal mine, digging for 20 years, and finally they pulled you out and said, okay, we're going to reward you here. Boom. Here's a stake in all of this money we're going to make. That's what this is. This is hard work. You earned to pick Trevor Lawrence because you got beat up and battered for so long. Don't look at this like a lottery ticket and just blow it and put a flower or a shirt on and go to the DR with a plane full of women and hang out on. You're going to be broke. I said that then. And now the Jaguars are seemingly treating Trevor Lawrence like inherited investment from a family fortune. They are surrounding him and insulating him with so many quarterback coaches and people and offense. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from him very much. And that's very good. When we go to practice, the time I've been at OTA, I've looked at him a little bit and he looks like a guy who could throw the ball, but he's quiet. It's not all eyes on me. Even I said last year, he was like secretariat and it was just something we never seen and the wind blowing through his hair. See, those are things that you do for a less talented quarterback like Gardner Minshew when you're hoping to build enthusiasm. Trevor is already done. We got to get the work done, man. That guy has to really, really. This is almost like a rookie year for him. If he learned anything from last year, sometimes you can learn from negativity. Let's just put it that way. If he learned anything from last year, it was how not to do stuff and how things shouldn't go. And if everything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And it can't get much worse than this. But now there's one thing to learn from negative stuff. But now you have to have positive things that you learn from. And it has to be constantly reinforced. And I think they're well on their way. But if he's good, then the quarterback himself being good is going to lift everybody around him, including the receivers that some people think might need to be on this list. It's going to make things easy for guys like Travis Etienne and James Robinson, who are neither one of them on this list. It's going to elevate guys like Evan Engram. So that's why, to me, he is the catalyst and for this team being what they need to be. And he's number one on the list. He has to be as good as. And last year he had an excuse because they did not buffer him with all of the things that they needed to in order for him to be successful. No excuses this year. He has to take that step. Player number two is Brandon Scherff. Why? It was because he's the first bona fide Pro Bowl, All-Pro type lineman they've had in a very, very long time. Brandon Linder was almost that to a certain extent, maybe a year or two, but not quite like this. This is a guy that should be the leader and anchor of this offensive line. Now, they got him at a price. I think he had, 3 years, $48, $49 million or something like that. That was a lot cheaper than I thought that he'd get, but it may have been because he missed some game. But Brandon Scherff has been considered one of the five or six best guards in the NFL. And he's one of those guys that right now, without factoring in maybe or what if or all of those things, he's one of those guys right now that if you look around the league and you just got a guy from every city and you say, name the top 10 players at every position in the NFL, Brandon Scherff's probably going to show up on 75% of them at guard. So you got to be that. When they reach out and pay you and bring you here, you got to be that, especially particularly here when it comes to the Jaguars at that right guard position which for all intents and purposes has been anchored by people that were as average as the day is long, and it's been like that. The last right guard they had that I thought was very, very good was Brandon Linder before they moved him to center. And Brandon Linder is retired now. He moved to center, I believe, his second year in the league. He's retired. That's how long it has been since we looked at the right guard position and went, we're good. When you're doing that to go along with the fact that you're young at right tackle, or at the very least unproven, because Juwan Taylor still has a lot to prove, but Trent Baalke thinks he's a good football player. When you add Brandon Linder to the scenario and the situation, now you look over and your left tackle is not necessarily your best player, who is Cam Robinson, and that's who was your best player when Brandon Linder wasn't healthy. Now you go, okay, we got a couple of guys here. We're cooking with grease here, and maybe one of these young guys can step up and step out. And then you got the young kid out of Kentucky. Now it starts, the profile starts to change and you start to look better. And at the very least, Brandon Linder is a weight room monster who's one of the strongest guys in the league. I think he actually makes the replacement for Brandon Linder better. Brandon Scherff does. I think he makes, whether it's Tyler Shatney or Luke Fortner, he makes them better. I think he also can get into the ear of whoever's playing right tackle between Walker Little and Juwan Taylor. I just think he's a bit of an anchor, but he has to actually do it this season. I'm going to tell you the other three guys on this list, and I'm not going to try to tease you to death. Trevon Walker is not on the list because he's a rookie. I know he's the number one player as a rookie, but he's not on the list, and I'll explain that to you and why in the third and final segment here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, man, we're going to roll along here on our third and final segment here on Locked On Jaguars, and I'm going to let you know something. Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast, which I am grateful to be a part of on the Wednesday crew. Every single day you get Locked On NFL for league-wide stories. And, of course, there's a lot going on this week because the Deshaun Watson stuff is supposed to actually ratchet up to another level. So at some point you'll hear about that. Any late deals in free agency, all of those things, and where your team stands heading into training camp. You can find it on the Locked On NFL podcast. Make it your second listen of the day. After you make us your first listen, of course, make sure you like and subscribe to that on YouTube, as well as all other platforms wherever you get your podcast. Josh Allen is on the list. Mr. Fifth-year option picked up, Josh Allen is on the list. And you say, why Josh Allen as opposed to Trevon Walker? Trevon Walker is the man of the hour. He's the rookie. He's the number one overall pick. You better hope he's one of your best players. I don't doubt that he's going to be. I just think he'll be viewed and looked at with a bit of a rookie curve. I don't think it's going to be his sack numbers as much as it is his impact on the club. But there's something we've been saying about Josh Allen now for a few years. After being picked seventh overall and storming out of the gate with 10.5 sacks, the last 2 years have not been so good because he wasn't surrounded with talent, folks say, because he was a little bit banged up, folks say, because he didn't have Jan and Calais the way Jan and Calais had Jan and Calais when they were putting up their big numbers. Who's been the guy on the other side of Josh Allen making Josh Allen better? All of that, which led me to believe that the Jaguars could use that information to say that they did not have a true number one as a pass rusher. Because if you're a number one, you get your stuff regardless. If you're a number one, you make the guy on the other side of you better. You get that guy is the one who is supposed to capitalize off the fact that they're doing everything in their power to stop you, because they're seemingly, based on at least the opinions of people, they have to be doubling him, don't they? He's not. And I used to tell you guys to watch the games and say, show me he's being doubled. And I ain't seen him being doubled. Now, he had some games. He had a couple of games, one particularly against Buffalo, where he was the best Josh Allen on the field. They need more of that. Here's where Trevon Walker comes into play. You said you needed help on the other side. They used the number one pick and got a freakazoid on the other side. Now you need to be thriving because you're Josh Allen. You're the guy that has the experience in the NFL, that understands the nuances of playing the position, that understands how to prepare, how to keep your body right, and you're healthy. There are no more excuses for why Josh Allen should not be a double-digit sack guy on this team. That's why he's on the list and Trevon Walker isn't. Although they're connected at the hip, because I think one guy being in place helps the other guy. So if it flips around and it's the other way around, if Trevon Walker's getting all of these sacks and doing all of these things, and then they start paying more attention to him, well, that means Josh Allen needs to be stepped up. Or Josh Allen should be given credit, because if he's getting doubled and they're paying so much attention to him and Trevon Walker's getting off, then he'll get the credit that he deserves for being on this list. But right now, Josh Allen, we've heard 2 years of reasons or excuses, depending on who you talk to. Now you don't have him anymore, and the scheme has also changed to be much more aggressive. We've seen guys from other teams as rookies, like Joe Tryon. We've seen guys like Shaquille Barrett have career years playing in this defense that Mike Caldwell is going to run. So Josh Allen, you're up. We're watching you. Foy Oluokun is number four as guys that have to be as good as advertised coming out of training camp. Why him and not Devin Lloyd was because they got him first. They cut Josh Allen and signed Foy Oluokun. Right then and there, they said, we upgraded the team. We got a veteran presence at linebacker, at off-the-ball linebacker, whether you consider inside Mike or Will. We got a guy that led the league in tackles last year. He's active. We're going to get him and make him our dude and let Miles Jack go. This is before the draft, before they knew who was going to fall to him. They basically put the C on the hat of Foy Oluokun as the Mike linebacker or the off-ball linebacker who's going to be the center of the defense to get everybody going where they're supposed to be going and be a side-to-side, sideline-to-sideline tackling machine for this franchise at off-the-ball linebacker. He's their Devin Lloyd. Not Devin Lloyd, Devin White. That's what he is. He's got to be it. If he ain't going to be there, Devin White, he got to be there, Levante David. And even that is a hard thing to do. Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is one where they have to get this right. 3 years, $45 million. You know, I don't think he's going to back down from it. And it's not an ultimatum, but it's the truth. He's a guy that has to be the Mike, the anchor of the defense. He has to be the Mike Pete, the Daryl Smith, the Telvin Smith, the Paul Posluszny. He has to be a guy that has that type of impact. There are a lot of people that thought the Jaguars linebackers didn't play that well. I mean, that poorly last year. I beg to differ. They got a lot of tackles, but if you watch a lot of tape, they did some really, really bad things too that allowed plays to be longer than they should have and things to happen last year. So Foy Oluokun has to be a guy that has to be one of the five guys that you have to, you got to say, you got to be as good as you're being paid to be, and you got to be as good as we think you can be. Last but not least, and this is obviously position-based, but it's also the truth. Tyson Campbell, we're putting the pressure back on you, man. Tyson Campbell, when he got picked last year in at the top of the second round, I don't know, 5% of this fan base that was like, yay, we got a good pick. In fact, all throughout the preseason, at the beginning of last season, he kept and continued to be sort of beat up as to what the hell did they pick him for. I remember doing a crossover with Eric Crocker and Brian Peacock with the 49ers. And I was like, man, Eric, you watch Tyson Campbell. What's going on? He's doing the same things he's doing at Georgia. He can't play. And he told me, he said, yep, those are the things that knocked him at Georgia. But as we started to see, if they tweaked the defense a little bit, and once he got used to it, he has some value as a size guy, as a tackler, as an athletic person who can run with anybody, as that dude who, while he might not be in the Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard camp of one-on-one corners, he does play a lot like a lot of guys who uses their physical ability at that position to hold off the best wide receivers on one type of the field, at least from an athletic standpoint and just from a desire standpoint. There's a reason why he was a five-star recruit out of high school, and there's a reason why he still got picked at the top of the second round, because he has these traits, and those traits are things that aren't coachable. Whatever mistakes that he used to make in college are things that are coachable, or there are things that you can scheme. You can scheme up his strengths. He has to be, because this league is full of guys and full of teams that will exploit you with one-on-one guys. And these receivers are getting paid a boatload of money now. And that's the one position on the field where two bad plays will be all over SportsCenter, and it'll be all over the highlights, and it'll be carved into the memory of this team. Guy catches a little hitch. You miss the tackle. He runs for 20 yards and gets a first down on third and 16. Guy puts a double move. You end up by yourself because the safety got tricked. When they throw the ball, he catches it, and he's running down the field. Generally, the person that's close enough to him is the one that's chasing him, who got the double move put on him, and that will be the corner. So these things will be etched into the mind, and it'll almost be like a shrine in the corner of everybody's mind that you got beat, you got beat, you got beat. You don't think one game or one play makes a difference? Ask Bruce Smith. Guy had 200 sacks, and people all want to talk about the fact that Tony Boselli whipped him in one game. It's amazing how that happens, right? Well, Tyson Campbell is the reason why you don't spend a lot of money, even though they did give Darius Williams a good contract on the other side. But he was the reason that the Jaguars probably didn't prioritize spending a whole lot of money that they had on a guy like J.C. Jackson. He's probably the reason why they didn't use another high draft pick at the end of the first round or the beginning of the second round on one of those corners that might have still been there that everyone says can play. And I think the Chiefs ended up getting one. When you got Tyson Campbell, you saying, we got our guy. We got our number one. We have our alpha, even though they're going to run a defense where you don't really necessarily have to have that Jalen Ramsey type corner. You said he was better, but good enough. He has to be. And while he exceeded our expectations and fortunately was better for us than most people around here thought he was, now the pressure's back on him again. Now he has to keep doing it, and he has to get better, and he has to improve. So there are your five guys that I think coming out of training camp have to be everything that we expect them to be and everything this team needs them to be in order for them to get better. We're going to do a four-part series. This is series part one. Three more podcasts this week on training camp and things that must happen, the things that we are going to look for. So make sure you tune in and stay tuned all this week on every single platform. And like and subscribe also, please. It does help us out and lets everyone know that you're in tune with us. And make sure you check out Locked On NFL. As I said, all is one out today, and it'll be one out every day this week and also on Wednesday. All right, so I'll be back more this week with my four-part series on the things to look for during training camp and things that have to happen. You guys continue to take care of each other and do like we always said, man, just hang in there and we'll all figure this all out. Until next time, I'm Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars.